by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
On the Swedish island of the Singso, there is a mysterious forest of oak trees. And it is mysterious because oak trees are not indigenous to that island. And for centuries, or for more than a century, it was unknown as to how these trees even got there. And then in 1980, the Swedish Navy received a letter from the Forestry Department reporting that their requested lumber was ready. The Navy didn't even know that they had ordered any lumber. And after some research, it was discovered that in the year 1829, the Swedish Parliament, recognizing the need for lumber to build ships, had a forest of these oak trees planted on this island, looking far ahead to the needs of the 21st century. And there they were, growing, protected by the Forestry Department for the use of the Navy. Now imagine that. That is really long-range planning. For the record, there was an individual who objected to planting all those trees because he felt that in 150 years, it was likely that ships would be made from wood. He was probably the smart one in the crew. But anyway, the idea is that there was some very long-range planning, some very long-range thinking. Now, that's very contrary for us, because we live in a society where things are instantaneous. We decide we want something, and we make sure we get it, sometimes to our own detriment, but we make sure we get it. When we want something, we want it now. We have no idea what it is to wait on anything, okay? I can remember as a younger man, I like very impatient. I want to do something. I want it to happen. I want to get it done. And the worst thing I had to learn to do was to wait 9 months for our first child to be born. I couldn't rush that. You know, there's some things you just can't rush, okay? But anyway, we live in that world that if we want something, we get it. If we don't have the money, we use plastic, or we make a loan, or we do something somehow or other, we get what we want. The idea of thinking long range or planning long range is kind of very strange and foreign to most of us. What about prayer? When we pray, do we pray for things that are immediate, or do we pray for things that perhaps we will never even see come to fruition? It's interesting. I pray for my grandchildren to know Christ. And I know sometimes when people put out their family of the week concern, they're praying for the future salvation of grandchildren. Now, my oldest grandchild is 6 and certainly could come to know Christ, but the rest of them are all really very young. Some even, one even an infant. And so, like, that's future long-range planning. Did you ever wonder if your own salvation decision began on the heart of somebody who prayed for you? A parent? A grandparent? Can't see the clock. Maybe I should just ignore it. I can remember when I had bought my first home in Lehighton, and Adam was just a year old, and his mother was pregnant with Joel. And all the time that I lived in that home, there was a little old man. His name was Ray Flickinger. And he would come to my house and he would get my newspapers. I always had them. He'd say, "Oh, folks, are you home?" And then he'd come and he'd get my papers and he'd carry them away. He came every Friday. And, you know, he did that for years. And probably about 4 years later, we went to visit the Bible Fellowship Church in Mahoning Valley, and he was there. And I'll never forget what he said to me. God answered my prayer. And later I asked him what that meant, and he told me that everywhere he went to collect the newspapers, and he did that for recycling money, and he gave all that money to the church, but he did that, and every time he came to get my papers, he prayed for me and for my family. And then to see us in church, now that was long-range thinking, okay? I'm sure when he showed up for church after he got my papers that week and I wasn't there, some of us would have said, well, that's it, you know? But he prayed. I wonder how many people he really prayed for, because he got a lot of papers from a lot of people. But that was long-range thinking, long-range prayer. And that's hard for us because we tend to be impatient. But in our study of the circle maker, we're learning to think larger, to pray harder. And today I want to talk about praying longer. And I'm not talking about increasing your prayer time from 20 minutes to 30 minutes, but with longer vision in mind. And I want to take us in our text today. I'm not moving. To Daniel chapter 10. There we go. Actually, I didn't even do that. Daniel chapter 10, and I'm going to read 20 verses. Hopefully, we'll have time to get through all this. And it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist, and his body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, "Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision of the concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and I began to speak. And I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord. and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. And I'm just going to stop right there. That's 20. That's enough. Here's the deal. Daniel was an individual of prayer. And Daniel had prayed. And back in chapter 9, I didn't take these out, so just bear with me. That's how we read scripture at YMCA, because we don't have pew Bibles. But in Daniel chapter 9, it says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer, in petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. In our text here, this angel who appeared to Daniel said, since the very day you prayed, this was a period of time has gone back. And he was given a vision of 70 sevens. By this time in Daniel's life, Israel's captivity had ended. And the exiles had already returned from Babylon. They began to rebuild the temple. And Daniel has this vision or visitation of a man who was dressed in fine linen. We believe this person to be an angel. In chapters 8 and chapters 9, that angel is identified as Gabriel. We're familiar with Gabriel's name, because where do we hear about the angel Gabriel? In connection with Mary, exactly, okay? And interestingly enough, he uses the same phrase. He said, do not be afraid, which was probably part of his normal conversation when he saw someone, because people certainly would have been afraid. But Gabriel told Daniel that there would be a time that is yet to come. It's important for us to note that Daniel prayed, God answered, but the answer was not immediate. The vision and the message of Gabriel revealed that there was a future fulfillment, a time when this would come to pass. Today, I want to share three brief truths with you in regard to praying long. And it says in verse 1, we need to pray long in light of spiritual opposition. It's important for us to note that while we don't necessarily like to think about it or talk about it, there is a spiritual realm. There is a spiritual opposition that occurs. Now, I don't think that means we need to sneak around, okay, and try to pretend that to disguise our prayers or do something that they're not understandable or whatever, as some might say, because we're told that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. But we need to understand that there is a spiritual opposition. And so sometimes the answer is not immediate, as it was in the case of Daniel. We need to understand that opposition sometimes hinders our prayers, and yet we have the invitation to come with confidence and boldness. In this case, the angel said that he was hindered by the prince of Persia for 21 days, and Michael, who is also an angel, came to assist him. And Daniel's word, his prayer, was heard by God before it ever hit his vocal cords, okay? Again, this is not something like, well, we pray, I wonder if God will hear that today, because it's not like that, okay? And I don't want you to perceive that. But the point is that it wasn't until the 21st day that an answer was given. We face spiritual opposition. The book of Ephesians tells us that. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And here it is. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, it's Halloween time, and that doesn't mean we're talking about, you know, ghosts and goblins or whatever. But these words that are talking about, you know, rulers and authorities and powers of the dark world, there is a demonic spiritual world. It exists. And their purpose is to hinder the work of the gospel, to hinder spiritual growth in your life, to hinder your walk with God. There is a spiritual opposition that we face. That's real. It wasn't just in the days of Daniel, because Paul talks about it. And so we need to understand that we need to pray, and we need to pray long, in that we face that opposition. But I want to couple that by saying this. It says in 1 John, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Just because there's a spiritual battle, just because there are forces of evil in the heavenly realm that seek to hinder us, understand that the victory is already done. It's already finished. It's already won. And the one, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you, if you're a true believer, is greater than the one who is in the world. Truth number two, we need to pray long as a daily habit. Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. Think about this. What if after day 20 he goes, this is it. Nothing's going to happen anymore. I'll start praying about something else. Well, this may not have been the case. The Israelites circled Jericho. Elijah got on his knees and prayed. And they prayed until God moved and God acted. Daniel is described as being extraordinary, both in his intelligence and in his appearance. But there's something about Daniel that was even greater, and that was that Daniel prayed even when prayer was deemed to be illegal. His love for God and his desire to spend time with God caused him to do so even when it was ruled that he was not allowed to do so. Prayer was a part of his day-to-day life. Three times a day, in three intervals, Daniel knelt before God and he prayed. I'm told that there is a painting in the National Gallery of Art of Daniel in the lion's den. And the artist, Sir Peter Paul Rubens, portrayed Daniel as a very strong and a very muscular young man. But beyond his physical appearance, Daniel had superior spiritual strength and tenacity. And he had that because of his daily habits of prayer. over these last weeks, I gave a 28-day challenge, and we're about three-quarters of the way through that. By the time we get to next Sunday, we'll have passed those 28 days, because it depends whether they started the challenge on Sunday or Monday. That's where it all falls. But basically, we did this challenge, and you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm here 14 years. In 14 years, I've never heard so many people contact me throughout a week and say, I've been praying about this and God answered. Or the other day, when the word got out that Missy was pregnant and was had a risk of losing that child, I know three women that got in a car and went up there and stood around her and put hands on her and prayed and circled her. And you know, like, what's the difference? Is it that God is more real? No, I don't think so. It's that prayer and Bible study became a daily habit. And when we are more connected to God on a daily, continual basis, it changes us. Oh, it changes a lot of circumstances, but it changes us. We spend time with Him, and He touches us, and He changes us, and He molds us. Several weeks ago, I said, I believe the Lord revealed to me that one of the things that is going to help us to learn to connect together and know one another is because we will pray for one another. And how amazing that is. One of those ladies said to me, I never knew people in this church like I've learned to know them in the last 3 weeks, because we've prayed together. Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. Our Tuesday morning prayer time, I can remember when there was two or three, maybe five on occasion. And we've had a fair amount. We've had, I don't even know, I didn't count this week, probably close to a dozen each week now. And it's a blessing to come. And we try to pray conversationally. Sometimes the conversation seems one-sided, but we try to pray conversationally so that we can agree with one another as the Spirit is leading in prayer. And I believe that that is going to continue to grow, and we're going to see some of the fruit of those prayers as we pray for those who are sick, as we pray for the various ministries of this congregation. How important is it for us to be able to pray and bathe everything in prayer that we do as we seek to reach a community, as we seek to help people who we know that the only hope for their messed up life is Jesus. Prayer must continue to be part of our daily habit. Several weeks ago, somebody said to me, Pastor, people are praying like I'm praying like I've never prayed before. And like, you know, I won't go to bed if I didn't spend my time in the Word. And I'm doing this, and it's making such a difference in my life. But how are you going to keep this going when 28 days is over? And my response is, when people experience the presence and the power of God in the Word and in prayer, they're not going to want to let it go. I pray that they will just continue to feed off of that. And my friend, if you haven't grasped that, if you're not part of that, it's not too late. It's not too late at all. Get in the Word and in prayer. And God speaks. And I'm the first person to tell you, I'll read a portion of Scripture, and some days it's the truth of God's Word. Some days I learn factual things. And then there's that day. Boom! It was as if God wrote it right down for me. Okay? Hits you like a ton of bricks. All right? And that's what happens. But we don't have that in our life if we don't have the daily habit in our life. It's that simple. Okay? Daniel went from being a prisoner of war to being a prime minister, because of who he was in God. Who knows what God has in store for you? Truth number three, we need to pray long in light of future fulfillment. Again, one of the most remarkable things about Daniel's prayer is that he knew his dream of rebuilding Jerusalem would not be fulfilled in his lifetime. He prayed for a city that he would never see with his own physical eyes. He prophesied that it would take 77s or 70 years. And yet, he continued to pray. He prayed looking for something that he would never see. He wasn't just looking beyond the Babylonian captivity. He was looking for the future. He was looking for Christ. He was looking for even Christ's first and second comings. He was praying in themes of millenniums, not moments. He knew his prayer would not be fulfilled in his life, and yet prayed as if his life depended on it, praying with urgency. Think about this. What are we praying for that we may never see, but we pray that there would be, it would be accomplished? I dare say some of you probably pray for great-grandchildren or grandchildren that weren't even born yet, okay? I dare say that some of you probably pray for godly mates for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they're still in diapers, okay? Because that's what it means to pray long. Pray long in thinking. Wanting our descendants, our families, we want to live a godly life and leave a godly legacy that will go on for generations. Sometimes we wonder how many men were called to the pulpit of pastoral ministry, or women. Thinking of Ruth out there. But how many were given that tug on their heartstrings because somebody they never knew prayed? Ever think about that? Ever think about that? I won't tell you about my genealogy. I'll leave that out today. But anyway, praying long range, thinking ahead, is very important. And so it's not enough to dream big. It's not enough to pray hard. But today, the challenge is to pray long. And long thinking results in praying for things that have not yet come and maybe we'll never see. We need to pray in light of spiritual opposition. We need to pray as a daily habit. And we need to pray recognizing a future fulfillment. Now let me ask you this. What are the promises or dreams that you are praying for? What are the things that you have listed that God has laid in your heart, or God has shown you that He wants you to do? What is it? And when should you quit praying for those things? Are you willing to pray for your promises and dreams for as long as it takes? That's what it means, my friends, to pray long. Father, you continually challenge us in your word and challenge us in the area of prayer. And Lord, we would confess that we are an instant kind of people where we pray and we expect instant answers. We expect you to move heaven and earth in an immediate response. And while we know, Lord, that in the immediate moment that you know our prayer before it's even out of our lips, we recognize, Lord, that in your sovereignty. Sometimes those answers are not immediate. Sometimes we will never even live to see them. And yet, Lord, that should not hinder us from faithfulness in prayer. And so, Lord, we ask that you would lead us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.